Hi, everyone. You listen to Faith Family Worship Center's podcast number 148 for November 14th, 2010. In this week's podcast, Pastor Archie is sharing his series on prayer with this week's sermon titled The Coming Kingdom of Christ. Enjoy.
Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're looking at the Lord's Prayer. And just one verse. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, which says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And I pray, Lord, that you will just enlighten your word to us. Help us, the Lord, to receive it with gladness, with a receptive heart and willingness, Lord, to apply it to our lives. We pray, O God, for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to just anoint your servant, anoint your people in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. So we are in a series about prayer. And I believe that the greatest important or the most important thing that we can do as Christian is to pray. Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." And the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. They asked the Lord, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And we should ask the Lord also, "Teach us, Lord, how to pray." So prayer is a priority in our lives, and prayer must be our lifestyle. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So we've been looking at a model prayer in Matthew chapter 6. We call this the Lord's Prayer, but actually it should be the disciples' prayer because it's just a pattern for us. All right? And last week we looked at verse 9, which says, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." So when we go to the Lord and pray, we start with praise and worship. And praise and worship is the first principle, which is the key to entering into the very presence of God. So if you want to go into the presence of God, you start with praise and worship. Is that what the Bible says? "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." Psalms 100. So when we say Father, when we go to the Lord and say, "Our Father who are or who is in heaven," what are we doing? We're expressing his nature, because he is indeed our heavenly Father. And secondly, we expect his nurture. And what is his nurture involves? His care, his correction, his companionship, and his compassion. Because he's a merciful God. Amen. And he wants to fellowship with us. That's his nurture. He wants us to grow in the knowledge of him, of his character. And then thirdly, when we say Father, we exalt his name. And when we exalt his name, we can avail of the power that is behind that name. Amen? Amen. And what is the power behind that name? We can experience his provision, because the Bible says he is our Jehovah Jireh. We can experience his healing because he is our Jehovah Rapha. We can experience victory. We can experience righteousness. And we can receive his sanctifying power. We can experience his peace because he's Jehovah Shalom. And he will never leave us or forsake us because he is our Jehovah Shammah. And we experience his care, his protection, because he is our shepherd. Amen. As David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. So this morning, we're going to look at verse 10, which says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if verse 9 is the principle of praise and worship, verse 10 is the principle of the priority of prayer. Priority of prayer. So this morning, the title of this message, The Coming Kingdom of Christ. Now, do you think that today God's will is being done on earth as it is in heaven? Do you think? Do you think that with all the problems, all the murders, all the debauchery, all the immorality, the abortion, the corruption that's going on in the world, do you think that the will of God is being done? Of course not. Right? But there is coming a day, praise the Lord, and our Lord taught us how to pray for it, that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But right now, man has enthroned himself in his glory, and his effort has been to enthrone himself and to dethrone God. That's what's going on today. We've forgotten about God, but we've elevated men above all things. So that leads us to a very important question. What is the kingdom of God that we are praying for? What is the kingdom of God that we are praying for? There are four things about the kingdom of God that I would like to point out. Number one, the kingdom of God's government. Number two, the kingdom of God's grace. Number three, the kingdom of God's goodness. And the kingdom of God's glory. You got that? All right, let's talk about the kingdom of God's government. Now, it is the kingdom of God where God rules, where God reigns, the place of God's sovereign authority. Now, God's government today is not physical. It's spiritual. It's in our hearts. That's why Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in you. Is in you. So, therefore, what is the purpose and priority of prayer? If God's government should be a priority in our lives, in our prayer, then the question is, what is the purpose and priority of all prayer? Well, you have that in verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, do you want to have an effective prayer life? This is the key, right? What is effective prayer life? It is not bending God's will to fit your own will, but it is not talking to God to give us what we want, but effective prayer is what? To get to know the will of God and get into it. That's what effective prayer is. So effective prayer is finding the will of God and getting into it and doing it. That's what effective prayer is. That's why Jesus taught us how to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. And there is nothing that lies outside the reach of prayer, but that lies outside of the will of God. Isn't it? Right? So the key to answered prayer is found in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15, which says here, now this is the confidence, this is the assurance that we have in him that we ask, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So when you are praying the will of God, be assured that God will answer your prayer. You believe that?
Yes.
Amen. So the key to effective prayer is praying God's will. Now the next question is, how do you know the will of God in your life? How do you know his will? There's so many voices in the world today telling you what to do. right? Now, the Bible gives us three principles that we have to follow so that you can know and pray in God's will. Number one, first of all, is the surrender principle. You will never know God's will until you are willing to say, "Your will be done, O Lord. Not my will, but your will be done." So my question to you is, have you totally surrendered your life to the Lord? Have you totally surrendered your will to the Lord? Is he the master of your life today? Is he the boss, the CEO of your life today? Amen? Amen? Well, if he is, then when you pray according to the will of God, then you can be sure that he will answer your prayer. Now, the Apostle James says this, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures." See? We ask anything or everything from the Lord, but if it's outside the will of God, if it's only consumed for our own pleasure or selfishness, then God has no obligation to answer your prayer. Right? But sometimes he does, if you persist. But you know what the Bible says? He gave them what they desired, but sent leanness into their soul. God may provide you what you are asking the Lord if you insist, but there will be a leanness, deadness in your spirit because you're out of the will of God. So which one do you want? To be in the will of God or not out of the will of God? Now the principle of surrender is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, which Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Other translation says, "your worship." So the first key to worship is surrender. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen. Amen. So the first key to knowing the will of God is surrender. Amen. And separation from the world. Do not let the mold of this world just mold you into the world's influence, but rather be molded by the power of the Holy Spirit through his word in your life. Now, lately, I have learned the difference between commitment and surrender. Commitment and surrender. And some say that the word commitment is relatively new among American Christian, in the American Christian community. It has replaced the word surrender. Now, commitment is good. The things that you commit to may be fine, noble, and wonderful, like if you want to commit your life to soul winning, to prayer, to your family. But when you commit, you are in control. You're in control. Who decides when you commit? You and me. You decide to do something, you commit yourself to it, and sometimes our commitment is not 100%. It's only what? 50%? 1%? But in surrender, what do? You lift up your hands and say, "Lord, I am under your control." So in commitment, you are in control, but in surrender, God is in control. He is the master. He is sovereign. He is the king of your life. So what do we say when we pray? "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, why does anybody do anything? Why does anyone serve one another? Why does anybody do anything? As a son of the Lord, you do something because you love him, isn't it? But as a servant of the Lord, you need to. But as a subject of the Lord, then you have to, you must. And we're a subject. We're a son, of course. We are a servant. Actually, we are more than a servant. The Bible says we're a friend of God. But as a friend, you couldn't just say to God, you do this, God. No, we are still subject to the King of Kings. And because you are subject to the King of Kings, then we must fully surrender our will to the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right, so God is sovereign. He's absolute. And do you want to know the will of God? You know what? God does not reveal his will to rebels, to rebellious people. So you must be willing to say, God, your kingdom come, and your will be done. That's the first principle, surrender. Secondly, the second principle is a scripture principle, the word of God. Jesus said in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. If you abide in me, that is what? Surrender principle. But if my words abide in you, that's a scripture principle. So this word, this Bible, is the word of God. You agree? But this book contains the will of God. Right? So you take this book and read it, study it, meditate upon it, and apply it to your life. Because this book is not only a source of information, but it should transform your very life. Amen. So do you want to know the will of God in your life? You want to? Can you raise your hands? Amen. Test question. How much do you open the book? Once a week? Every day? Praise the Lord. Somebody says, a clean Bible, dirty Christian. A Bible that has been never opened, a dirty Christian. A dirty Bible, a clean Christian. So how much do you study the Word of God? How much do you read it? You read it every day. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If we read 3 times a day or 3 meals a day, and some of us eat more than 3 meals a day, all right, you should also spend with the Word of God every day. Amen. That's right. Let me give you some other verses. Psalms 37 verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Are you delighting in God? Are you delighting in his word? If you are delighting in God, then you delight in his word, and you will delight in his will, and you will not ask anything of God that is against his will. That's why he will answer your prayers. Then John 14 verse 21 says, Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. See that? If you love the word of God, if you love the Lord, and if you obey his word, what did Jesus say? He will manifest his will in your life. He will manifest himself in your life. The thing that I've learned about the word of God is this. If you are not willing to obey the word of God, why would God manifest His will to you? Why will God reveal Himself to you? And Cho Yong-gi, you know, the pastor of the biggest church in the world, says, American Christians know more of the Bible than what they are willing to obey. You know that? We know a lot of the Bible. We read the Bible as a comics, but you are not willing to obey what the Bible says. Right? So, Jesus saying here is, He will reveal His will for your life if you love Him and keep His words. So number two is scripture principle. And number three, to know the will of God is spirit principle. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. The Apostle Paul says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Some say that these groanings are speaking in tongues. Amen? Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So what He's saying here is we don't know always what to pray and how to pray, but if you pray in the Spirit will help you pray according to the will of God. Amen. So first, surrender principle. Secondly, scripture principle. And third, spirit principle. Because the Holy Spirit helps you understand the Word of God and helps you articulate your prayer in the will of God. That is the way we should pray. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. You see, you can be absolutely certain that what you are praying, that when you are praying the Spirit, you are praying to according to the will of God. Your prayers will be answered because it originated from heaven. It originated from the heart of God. And certainly heaven is not going to reject it. That's why the Bible tells us to pray in the Spirit often. Over and over again. And to pray in the Spirit, you must be filled with the Spirit. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then you must surrender. First surrender, then you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So they are linked together. And I read about a beautiful definition of prayer, which is like this. Prayer is the Holy Spirit finding a desire in the heart of the Father and putting the desire into our hearts and sending it back to heaven in the power of the cross. So what is the kingdom of God? It's the kingdom of His government. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Secondly, what is the kingdom of God? It's the kingdom of grace. Praise God for that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. A throne speaks of what? Rule. A throne speaks of what? His authority. And thank God, it's a throne of grace. Is it a throne of law? Is it a throne of judgment? No, it's a throne of grace. Praise the Lord. So the kingdom of God is not only a kingdom of His government, but a kingdom of God's grace, where we could find grace and mercy in time of our need. Amen. It's not only a kingdom of God's government, Because when we think of the government of God, we can think about the awesomeness, the majesty, right? The glory, the unapproachable holiness of God. How can we ever come to Him? But praise God, it's also a kingdom of grace, a throne of grace. That's why the Bible says we can come right with boldness, with confidence. We can come in right into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of needs. So you may say, Pastor Archie, do my faults keep me from coming to the throne of grace? No, my friends, it is your faults. It is your weakness, amen, that you need to come to the throne of grace. So don't stay away because of your faults, because of your weaknesses. Come and find mercy. Amen. Don't stay away because you're weak. Come and find help, because the throne of Jesus Christ is a throne. It's a throne that dispenses the wonderful grace of God. Amen. And the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. We are saved by His grace. We are saved by His mercy. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's a gift. Gift of God. It's grace. We don't deserve it, but it gives it to us. Amen. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7 says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In the ages to come. Which means that God wants to display His grace in your life. He wants to say, to display to the angels, to the rest of the world, that you are a product of His grace. That you've been captured by His grace. Amen? Is that amazing? The grace of God? I'm here because of the grace of God. You are here because of the grace of God. Can we just give to the Lord a clap of hands? Hallelujah! Praise God for His grace. Thirdly, it's a kingdom of God's goodness. So when you're praying, your kingdom come, what kind of kingdom it is? Is it? Romans 14 verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking. It's not physical, material. It's not food. But what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Spirit. My question to you is, are you in the kingdom? Are you in the kingdom? The three marks of a person who is in the kingdom. Number one, righteousness. Number two, what? Peace. And number three is joy. Do you know if a person is righteous? Is he righteous? Someone said, I don't care how loud you shout, which is good. The Bible says, shout unto the Lord, right? He said, I don't care how high you jump, but I want to find out how straight you walk when you fall down. How straight is your life? How straight is your walk? Has your faith, this thing called Christianity, has it changed your life? If your religion has not changed your life, you better change your religion. Right? Because the Bible says, if a man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah. And the rest of the chapter says, he who has no sin, all right, gave his righteousness to us. So we are righteous because God has given us his righteousness. But now that we are saved, we have to live a what? In righteousness. Amen? Secondly, the other mark that characterizes that you are in the kingdom of God is peace. Peace with God and the peace of God. Peace with God, the Bible says we were once enemies with God, right? But the Bible says, therefore, having been justified by faith, Romans 5:1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you have peace with God, then the peace of God dwells in your heart, right? The Bible says, peace that passeth all understanding. You can have peace in the midst of trouble. And after that, you can have peace with what? Your brothers and sisters. Peace with other people. You will never have the peace of God unless you have a Prince of Peace dwelling in your hearts. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen? Amen? Do you want the peace of God this morning? Are you troubled this morning? As we look forward to the future seems uncertain. But Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Amen? Receive his peace. Just come to him in complete surrender and he will give you that peace in your heart. Amen. And number three, joy. Do you have the joy of the Lord?
Yes.
Are you experiencing his joy right now?
Yes.
Amen. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our
strength.
Hallelujah, I like that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If you are discouraged this morning, if you are tired, if you are weak, what do you do? What? Receive the joy of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord will lift you up from that state of despair, discouragement. Amen. And you will find strength in the Lord. That's why we need the joy of the Lord. That's why whenever we come to church, we should experience the joy. Amen. Out there is so much negativity in the world. Amen. All right, that's why when you come to church, you should get the joy of the Lord. Amen. Leave all your problems here. Amen. Amen. Leave them to the foot of the cross. Amen. Receive the joy of the Lord, and then you're ready.
Amen.
To conquer the world for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Well, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's a peace, isn't it? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. There are 9 fruits. So if you don't have joy this morning, maybe you're not in the kingdom yet. That's why you need to be in the kingdom. You need to receive Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Or maybe the Holy Spirit is not ruling in your life. Because you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will have the joy. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that is when we're praying, all right, for the kingdom of God. We're praying what? For his government, his rule in our hearts, right? Then we pray for grace, for his grace and his mercy, his merciful God. And we're praying for his goodness, because a good God. And when we pray for that goodness, what do we receive? We receive his righteousness, his peace, and joy. Amen. So this morning, God wants you to receive that righteousness and peace and joy. Amen.
Amen.
The number four, When we say, your kingdom come, we're praying for the kingdom of God's glory. Now, this prayer is not yet answered. Right? Of course, the Bible says that when Jesus came into this world, we have received, we have seen his glory. As John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When Jesus came unto the earth, he displayed the glory of God. He displayed the glory of God in the miracles that he did, right? He displayed his glory and the power that he did in delivering people from bondages, from their sins, from demon possession, and all those things. But also in the Mount of Transfiguration, remember what Peter and James, John saw? They saw the glimpse of his glory when he was transfigured before them. In Luke chapter 9, verse 29 says, as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. So we experience the glory of God in our lives also, right? Amen. But it's only a preview of what is to come. Because the Bible says there is a coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be glorified here on earth. He is coming to rule here on this earth, literally, bodily, in the millennium. The baby of Bethlehem is going to be sovereign ruler of this world. As the angel said to Mary, he says, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 says, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So the kingdom of God's glory is still yet to come. But yet now you can experience the glory of God in your life. Amen. But when it comes, the Bible says his glory will be totally manifested all over the earth. As the Bible says, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, wonderful. Amen. But today his kingdom is not yet come on the earth bodily, except the spiritual kingdom that we have in our hearts. Right? God has rule in our hearts as believers. So the kingdom of God is in our hearts. Right? But one day he will come. Today, Jesus Christ is outcast from our society, from our government, but there's coming a day when he will come. Amen? As it will be fulfilled. I mean, Psalms chapter 2 will be fulfilled. That's what the Bible says. When he will rule this earth with what? Righteousness and peace. And he will rule this earth with a rod of iron. He will be a sovereign, righteous Lord. Amen? But you will only be in the kingdom of God if you have the kingdom of God in your hearts right now. Amen? Amen? So this morning, the kingdom of God is what? The kingdom of his government. The kingdom of his grace. The kingdom of his goodness. And someday it will be the kingdom of God's glory. So when we pray for these things. Amen? So this morning, you can experience his government in your heart. You can experience his rule. You can experience his grace and his goodness. You can experience his righteousness as you surrender your life to the Lord. Amen. Yeah. And you can experience forgiveness and cleansing, because the Bible says that there's no sin greater than the grace of God. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Amen. You can receive his forgiveness and cleansing, and then you can experience his peace and joy and righteousness in your life as you surrender your life to him. Amen. And you can experience his healing power Because the Bible says that he not only provided forgiveness of our sins, but he provided healing of our physical bodies, because by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's stand up together. And let's commit our lives to the Lord. Surrender our lives to the Lord. And I want you to receive the blessings of His kingdom this morning in your life, in your personal life. Whatever you need is, His grace is sufficient for every need. If you want righteousness, surrender your life to the Lord. And He will cleanse you. He will forgive you. If you want His peace and joy, let the Lord fill your hearts this morning. Amen. So can we have the worship team and lead us in worship?
And that was Pastor Archie on his sermon titled, The Kingdom of Christ. If you would like to join us for our Sunday service, our address is 6535 West Berry Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Our telephone number is 773-888-FFWC. That's 3392. Our email is contactus@ffwcchicago.com. And you can reach us online on our website, ffwcchicago.com. Until next time, take care and God bless. Bye.